Giggo. Sermon title this morning. Remember that. Remember that. Giggo. So we're going to go to the book of Luke this morning. Chapter 19. I'll get there eventually. But needless to say, I want to teach you about giggo, right? You ever heard the phrase garbage in, garbage out? Giggo. Garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you put into your mind, your heart, your life, if it's garbage in, garbage out. You wonder why sometimes life stinks? Garbage in, garbage out, right? But here at church, we're different, are we not? See, I'm going to change that to God in, God out. Good in, good out. Great in, great out. That's the kind of giggle we're going to have, is it not? Good. God is good. Nothing but good. God only does good. God only loves us and cares for us and takes care of us and is good to us all the time, right? Right? God is good all the time and all the time. See? Giggo. Giggo. Now, here's the question I have to ask you. How much is God in you? If God isn't in you fully, and if you don't continue to let God and more of God's goodness in you, how much good is going to go out of you? Just a question. Let's turn to the book of Luke, and I'm going to show you this example of where this sermon came from. Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was one of the most influential Jews in the Roman tax collecting business, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowds. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road so he could watch from there. When Jesus came by, Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down, for I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the crowds were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Garbage in, garbage out. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. And if I've overcharged people on their taxes, since I've overcharged people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a son of Abraham, and I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and save those like him who are lost. So what happened here? Well, obviously, we read the story about Zacchaeus. Jesus is traveling with the crowds, as he often did. They were following him through Jericho. And Zacchaeus, being a sinner, being someone who was a cheater, who overcharged people, who got very wealthy and rich by cheating people, fraudulent means. We know he was an awful sinner to the people that probably were in that very crowd. But he had heard evidently about Jesus. Maybe Levi, who became Matthew, remember him? He was also a tax collector. Maybe Zacchaeus and Matthew knew one another. And maybe that's how Zacchaeus heard about this Jesus. There was something about him that was different. And so Zacchaeus, though being short, but also being short-sighted perhaps, not thinking that he could even get near Jesus, he wasn't going to go through the crowd to try to reach him. Why? Because he most likely knew the kind of character he was, right? A sinner, someone who had done wrong, terrible things. And so perhaps he thought to himself, I might want to get a look at this guy from a distance. Who is this man that's traveling by that has changed so many lives, changed Levi into someone being a follower of his? And Levi no longer is a tax collector. Levi no longer cheats people. So he must have been something in his mind that he thought, I've got to get near this Jesus. But thinking himself as the sinner that he was, the shame and the guilt that he felt most likely was, I can only see over the crowd and look at him from a distance because most likely he's not going to want me. Anybody ever feel that way sometimes, that God may not want you based on what you've done, what the sins you know you've committed or continue to sometimes do, that you're not close to God at all, and some of the things you look at, things that you say, things that you do, some of the garbage that you put into your mind or other people put into your mind, and sometimes you get in that toxicity of things like that, and you think to yourself, I can't get near Jesus, but I can look from afar, get a glimpse of him, see what he looks like. But what do you see Jesus do? As he does every single time with every person that is lost, every person that has fallen away, every person that sometimes people think someone's so lost they can never be found. That some people think that somebody is so awful right now they could never change or they never could be redeemed. Is that true whatsoever? It's a lie of the devil. Anybody and everyone can be saved, right? Everyone and anyone can be changed. How? Meeting Jesus, right? Meeting Jesus. And even if you're far away from above, just looking, getting a glimpse at him, sitting here at church and looking around and trying to figure out, where is this Jesus that all these pastors are preaching about? Who is this guy anyway? What's he like? Where is he? I don't see him. Where is he amongst the crowd, right? Jesus calls upon Zacchaeus, looks up. He stops short, right? The crowds are following him. Just get the picture of this. He's in a crowd of people. They're following him. They're looking for healing. They're looking for restoration. They're looking to get near Jesus. The crowd's running and going and trying to get closer and closer, right? Thousands of people are following him, right? Even today, thousands of people are following him, are they not? But what does Jesus do? He stops short. Boom, 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 the crowd behind. Whoa, dominoes, right? What happened? He looks for that one person who thinks they have to stay at a distance, who knows who they are and the things that they've done wrong, who thinks that they can never get close to this Savior like other people could. Too much wrong they had done, thinking that they're supposed to stay at a distance, that they're less than. But what happens? Jesus stops short, doesn't he? And he looks up and says, Zacchaeus, knew him by name. The Bible tells us that God calls the stars out every night. And he calls them out by name. That's how God operates. He knows all of us by name. And some of us get lost, do we not? We wander away. We go down wrong paths. We think wrong things. We get a little bit stuck in the garbage dump sometimes, do we not? And it's easy to do in this world today, is it not? There's a lot of negativity out there. There's a lot of the devil out there trying to put awful things in all of our minds, right? And put us against one another and things of that nature, right? That's what the devil would like, to rob, kill, and destroy, right? Correct? But what does Jesus do? We see someone different in him, do we not? He stops short and he calls Zacchaeus by name. And here's what he says. Quick, come down. Right away. Don't even think about it, Zacchaeus. Just come down. Sometimes we have to immediately, when Christ calls on us, when God calls our name, somehow, some way, in the middle of a darkness sometimes, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of that garbage dump that some of us are living in. He calls us out of that, right? When? Right now, right? And he says, quick, come down, for I must be a guest in your home today. He's got thousands of people following him, right? He's got things to do that day, does he not, right? Miracles to perform, healings to do. But what does he do? He realizes he's got to save this one man right here, right now, does he not? One person. Do you see how one person matters so much to God all the time? You might be that one person today. And he says, I must be a guest. Not saying, may I come to your home today, Zacchaeus, if you don't mind? Would it be okay if? Are you thinking about, like, inviting other people over, but can I come too? I must be. Why does Jesus say he must be? Because Jesus came to seek, look for those like him. Sinners, like, maybe we're not as bad as Zacchaeus, right? I'm worse. When we compare ourselves to somebody else, you kind of feel good about yourself, don't you, sometimes? At least I don't sin that way. But needless to say. And the crowd grumbles. That's what grumblers do. Does that stop Jesus from going to Zacchaeus' house? Does Jesus stop and have a little conversation with those grumblers, trying to change their minds? No. What's he there for? Seeking those that are lost and those he invites them. He's invited these grumblers too, right? But they're not there to follow Christ. They're there to grumble, right? So we're going to have grumblers in our life from time to time. You know, those complainers, those that don't like us, being saved or saying we're Christians or whatever it might be, being who we are, whatever the case might be. Do we pay attention to them? No, because Jesus invited Zacchaeus and he's invited us to come to our home as well, has he not? Yes, you're in his house right now, are you not? You've been invited here, have you not? And look, you took the invitation, right? I'm glad to see that. Those that are watching, you've been invited here to this time, to this place, to hear this word. But needless to say, Zacchaeus goes with him right away. Right away he goes with them. This notorious sinner. So then once they get to the house, here's what happens. Remember Gigo got in? Got out? Look what happens the minute that Jesus comes into Zacchaeus' heart. See, I know we think in literal terms, do we not? He went to his home. He was going to have dinner with him probably, right? I must be a guest there. So he's going to go to the house. That's not what this is about. It's about the fact that Jesus goes into the man's heart. Into the man's heart. In the early part of Jesus' ministry, in Mark chapter 1, it says Jesus was, after he was baptized, after he was in the wilderness, when he starts his first ministry, he goes out to the people and he says, change your heart and your lives. Repent. That's what change your heart means. So watch what happens. Zacchaeus and Jesus have a heart encounter, do they not? What happens? Jesus gets in, does he not? He comes into this home right here, the heart, right here, the mind, the soul. And what happens? Well, Zacchaeus stands there and he says, I'm going to give half of my wealth to the poor. What do you call that? Got in, got out. He's going to give his wealth. He's been changed when? As soon as Jesus comes in. He's changed. His heart is changed. See, many people today, they just need a heart transplant, spiritually speaking, right? And we that are in this church, we're like the heart transplant doctors. We're cardiologists. We're here to seek and save those, just like Jesus has asked us to do, to stop for one person at a time, if necessary. But what happens when the heart changes, the actions change too, do they not? You have a change of heart, changes your mind, changes your thoughts, and then your actions follow, right? How do we know that? Well, look what Zacchaeus did. I'm going to give half of my wealth to the poor. And then he says, if I've overcharged people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. Now, you may not know this, but this refers to Leviticus, our famous book of Leviticus, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. If you steal something from somebody, give them back the original amount plus 20%. How much did Zacchaeus get back? More than, right, four times as much. Four times. He gave them the original amount plus that, right? About 80% back. And the second part of Leviticus, verse 7, says, plus a guilt offering. You know what the guilt offering was? An unblemished lamb. Now, do you now see the connection between Zacchaeus meeting Jesus? Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of all the world. Here's Zacchaeus. He doesn't need to give the guilt offering, does he? Why? Because he's standing face to face with the Lamb of God. And he says, I, the Son of Man, have come. This is the reason he came, to seek. He's always seeking people out. Anyone and everyone who sometimes has garbage in and garbage out. What they need is God in, and the God will come out, right? In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, I stand at the door and knock. And if you open, I will come in and share a meal with you. Revelation 3:20. So here's what happens, though. When people are doing what they're doing and going about their lives, sometimes Jesus knocks on the heart, does he not? He's not knocking on a physical door. He's knocking on the door of your and my heart all the time. And even when we've already had him in our lives and we're starting to change and starting to grow, cannot the world, because we're part of it, does it not sometimes become a part of us? Yes, if we're not careful, right? Are there not garbagey things that are out there? A lot. Sometimes we see more garbage than good. But it also depends on where you're looking. But guess who has to be the good in this world? We are. We are. Because good always overcomes evil. Romans 12. That's why in Romans 12 it says, don't copy the pattern of this world. Ask God to renew you, the way you think, the way you treat others, the way you behave, right? So from this moment forward, we're either doing one of two things. We're either letting garbage in, and that as a result we're going to have, or we're going to let God in, more of God in, every day have God come in, and what's going to come out? Will we change like Zacchaeus instantaneously? I pray so. I pray so. Is anyone so lost that they cannot be found? Is anyone so sinful that they cannot be redeemed? Is anyone so awful in their mind and in their heart that they can never change? Only if God never gets in. So we as a church, we have to be like Jesus, don't we? We have to be looking for all the Zacchaeuses of the world. And I know there's some in the room right now, in any way, shape, or form, right? If we were to admit, there's some things in me, God, that, gotta go. That's not like you, Lord. Sometimes your heart can be hardened, can it not? Sometimes people can get on your nerves once in a while, right? What do you mean every moment? Who said that? Who said right now? Who said she's getting on my nerves? Who said she's stepping on my toes? I don't like this message here whatsoever. See, Jesus wants us to turn from sin and turn to God. It's all about turning. It's all about turning our life over. It's all about turning our thoughts over. It's all about asking him in. Or when he's knocking, may I come in? What do you say? Oh, my house is dirty. You can't come in right now, Lord. Anybody here got a dirty house once in a while? Some of the things you think, say, and do, some of the thoughts you think about yourself or others gets a little dirty up in here. But see, here's the greatest thing about Jesus. Just like he can fight any battle and win every battle, he can also win the battle in your own mind. He can also come in and clean out all the dust that's up in here. And even if you hide stuff under the bed and try to keep it from him seeing it, all the little dust and all the little corners and all the little things that you try to hide from him in your closet, wherever you want to put them aside, and you don't want him seeing in there. Don't go in that room, Lord. Don't go in there. It's bad. It's been there for so many years, I don't even open it. But what's he want to do with all that junk and stuff that's sometimes up in here or in our heart? Cleanse it out. You get set free that way. And you got a whole new room to put new stuff in. Good stuff, right? Good stuff. Good, because God is good, right? Good comes in. Good comes out. Don't you want to put more good into this world? Don't you want to give more good to others, regardless of whether they deserve it or not? We got enough grumblers to go around, do we not? But we're gooders. Because we giggle. God in, God out. Good in, good out. Great in, great out. We can change this world so much. Our little world, whatever your world is, can be changed so much by you every single day asking God in. Oh, and by the way, this meal in the book of Revelation, it's actually a sunset meal. That was the Jewish tradition. When people ate in biblical times like Jesus did at Zacchaeus' house, this was around sunset. And what the family would do is they'd get around their table, they'd recline around it, and they would talk about their day. All the good that happened. All the blessings that God had given them. And they would make it a praise table. And they would talk about all the things they learned and all the ways in which God helped them on that day. And then as they ate that meal, they fellowshiped together. They ate together and enjoyed that beautiful food. And then they would talk about the plan for the next day. All the good they were going to do tomorrow. Wouldn't it be great when we had our sunset meals together with our family and with our friends or even with ourselves, that you put an extra little seat there, right at the table, for Jesus to sit there and for you to discuss to him all the good he has done in your life, all the good he did in that day, all the ways that he blessed you that day. And you went out and did some good, right? You touched another person's life with love. You didn't look at the garbage that was out there. You changed your channels on your television or in your own mind or on the radio station or even things you read or things that you said. You did something to see the good that was out there, right? And you looked for the good in the people that were sitting around your table that you were joining with, right? Do you realize how many awesome people are in this room? A lot. A lot. And there's a couple awful of us, right, from time to time. But guess what? Everyone's welcome at the table. Because when you start hanging around people and start telling them the good things about them or the good things in your life, couldn't we use a little more good news? That's the gospel. That's what the gospel means. Good news. We've been saved and redeemed and restored, and we have new life in Christ. And guess what? We get to change and grow. But that sunset meal, imagine that, Zacchaeus sitting there with Jesus, and Jesus telling Zacchaeus everything that was good about him. Because Zacchaeus might have been one thing, a notorious sinner as far as tax collecting, but has no ungood in them. Is that such a thing? And there's good in everybody, I guess what I'm trying to say, right? Because they're in God's image, but maybe their heart is stony. That's why the book of Ezekiel says, let me take out your stony heart and put a new heart in you, and then you'll change and you'll grow, and you'll give back more than what was even asked for in the law. In Revelation 3, it doesn't say, I'll knock at the door and kick it down and break into your house. You have to let him in. So my prayer this morning is, if you've already had him as a part of your life already, but maybe there's a little too much garbage and not enough good in your life or in your mind or in your heart, it's okay to invite him in again. This is an invitation individually for each and every one of you. The most important organ we have in our body is our heart. And it's a literal thing. That's how our blood is pumped. That's how we stay alive. That's where the oxygen goes to all the places, especially our brain. It's what keeps us alive. In a spiritual sense, the heart is the most important part of us. It's connected to the mind. But the heart, when it rules the mind, can do so many good things, can it not? So we invite you this morning to allow Christ in to your heart. Whether you've done it before or haven't, guess what? He still wants to be a part of your life, right? He wants to dine with us all this morning. And we're going to tell him in our minds all the good things he's done for us. And we're going to ask him to put more of his goodness in us so we can share that goodness with others. It's an invitation. But my prayer truly is that this is the day you can change. This is the day you can let God in and really let God in. We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about any rituals. What we're talking about Jesus looking at you and saying, I must come into your home today. Quickly, quickly come with me and let me show you great goodness that I can put into your life. When your heart changes, your life changes for the better, I promise you. When you're in the darkness, it brings you into the light because you see things so much more clearly. You see the good, and you also see the good within yourself because it's there. Even Zacchaeus found good and became good by meeting Jesus. That's my prayer today. I know God is seeking you. I know that all you have to do is invite him in, sit and dine, share a meal, and watch your life change for the better. God in, God out. Good in, good out. Great in, great out. Watch your life be transformed. Amen. Amen.